Welcome back to Insight on Camp Radio. I'm your host, Andrew Garcia, in for Vicky Gonzalez. Northern California author Josh Wiles' new novel, What Came West, is getting rave reviews. Take this notice from Sacktown's Hillary Louise Johnson. The landscape in this novel is as vivid a character as any of the humans, and Silas's love for the land is so palpably tender that the readers feel his anguish when the terrain is cruelly ravished by the newcomers. For all the blood and guts, this is a sensitive literary western, more Cormac McCarthy than Taylor Sheridan. Josh Wiles won the 2018 California Book Award for his story collection, The Age of Perpetual Light, which explores the idea of humanity lighting the world to chase away darkness, an idea he first explored in his debut novel, The Great Glass Sea. After winning that award, Wiles told Insight's former host, Beth Ruyak, that it allowed him to, quote, do something daring with the next book. That book is What Came West, and it's his first set entirely in California. It was released earlier this month, and Josh joins us today to share some of it with us. Josh, welcome back to Insight.
Thank you, Andrew.
As I just mentioned, you were saying you can take a risk with this next book. How did it go? Did you succeed in taking that risk?
Oh, I definitely succeeded in taking the risk. Whether I did it successfully in its completion is hard to say. It's for others to say, I suppose. But I definitely felt like I was taking a leap with this book into territory that I hadn't been before.
What was some of the risk? What made it feel like that?
I think it's a mixture of things. One, the history is such a fraught and tender and important history, especially as it relates to the Nisenan, that I knew I had to really get that very right, and I had to make sure that I was doing that justice. And so that felt like a risk just to wade into those waters and take on that responsibility. And then also just a personal risk. The struggles that Silas, the character, goes through here were somewhat born out of my own heart, as all characters are, but in this it felt very personal to me. And then finally, just it's a love letter to the land that I moved to a dozen years ago. And again, felt a little bit of responsibility in for the first time writing about this place.
Yeah, the Sierra Nevada. And
yeah.
How does that place show up? It's of course set there, but your perception and connection to the Sierra, how does that show up in this book?
I mean, it's huge. The book is really centered on it. It is a character in its own right, and very much I almost see this. The book is something of a Western, although that is a complex kind of category. And in a way, I see it as a Western from the viewpoint of the land itself. So there are even some omniscient sections where we hear that land's voice. And more than anything, I wanted to write something that was looking at the land itself as it had been before the influx of miners, before it was changed so radically. That was what I was so interested in. So the landscape is not just a character, but is really the reason why I wrote the book.
Yeah, and I feel like the gold rush in California's history, I think, kind of gets, condensed or flattened out into, pioneers coming to the West trying to make it rich, the sort of gold rush towns that are attractions these days. But as you're mentioning, the gold rush was also very chaotic, and that I feel like that shows up in this novel. What drew you to wanting to write about that era and this side of that era?
Well, chaotic and dramatic, right? Mm. Dramatic and destructive and heartbreaking and filled with hope at the same time. And so all of those things that for me as a writer, I thought this is very, very rich material. So I was interested in the drama, but especially the rapidity with which it happened. I don't think I had realized when I first moved out here, there's a lot of romanticization about the gold rush. Mm-hmm. For a lot of people, one thing that I wanted to address too is this sense that California history kind of begins with the gold rush, which of course it doesn't. And so there was a sense for me of there was just such rich terrain to deal with, especially because of how rapidly everything changed. There's something that's heartbreaking about that for me.
Well, you have a reading prepared for us. I'd love for you to jump in. If there's anything you'd like to set up before you get started, please do.
Oh, great. I'll just read from the opening of a long letter, which the book is mostly comprised of, a letter from the main character Silas to his son, who he abandoned when his son was 3. And so I'll just start with that. You will want to know why. Even if you do not think so, even if you have tried to cut loose from me and done it, still one day you will want to. I know, because I have tried to cut loose too from you, your mother. She used to call you Shosh. We used to. Yes, cut loose and done it, and still I am here 12 years later in these last hours I will have in this place that has become my reason why for everything, for all of it has become me, your father. And still here I am now writing to you. It is Temsum Pauto, season of small trees freezing, October 49, maybe November. Cold outside enough to snow, but in here warm with the fire and smoke, and so they will find me. Outside, I have set the traps, 20-some spring-loaded spiked steel jaws waiting in the woods round me for whoever comes. The Nisenan say when you die, your heart stays a few days longer, goes round to all the spots you knew in life, now as your ghost, to do again all of the things you did before you died. I have been thinking on it. Is it for the spirit or for the living who are left? The living do not know the ghost is there, and if they did, they could not see it. The spirit knows the living are near, but cannot allow itself to see them either. If it so much as looks at someone, the one who it lays eyes on will die too. So it has got to redo its life all over in a kind of blindness of its own making, a kind of dance, reenacting memories alongside those who also live them, but now alone. Here is what I think. I think it is for both to give time to the living and the dead, to let them, make them, force them to feel. I think that's why they cannot see each other. So they will look into themselves instead and grieve. Maybe then, when the heart at last goes west to rise off of the earth, it can leave behind its regret, its sorrow, which would make this that I am writing now really for myself, except if somehow I can get it to you, then I will have got round the rules, let you see me.
Wow. Such a powerful text, but also your reading of it. It felt like it was, in a way, written to be read out loud. That is a letter from Silas's perspective. I found it very interesting, the different sort of tenses that you're playing with. The letter, Silas in the current era, the omniscient narrator that you mentioned, who is the land itself. What was it like to play with structure in that way for this novel? How do you think it helped support what you were doing?
I mean, I think it was vital. It was both vital and exciting. For me, I, as a writer, I'm drawn to characters and the heart in the story and lots of the drama of the narrative, but also just challenge. And I knew that interweaving these two narratives that are very different, one takes place over the character's entire lifetime, 40, 50 years, the other one over a period of 3 or 4 weeks in the present action, and to weave them together so they speak to each other was a challenge I was looking forward to. It also felt entirely necessary because I wanted this to be propulsive. I wanted this to be and have an adventure novel feel to it, and yet at the same time have space to explore the character in the richness that I thought it would need to go over his whole life. So interweaving the two narratives in that way allowed me to do that.
Wow, Josh. Thanks so much for joining us. I wish we had another half hour that we could talk about this book. But thank you so much for joining us and sharing your risky and thrilling work with us.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be here.
Author Josh Wiles' latest novel is What Came West. You can find information at our website, including a link to that 2018 interview on Insight with Josh that I mentioned earlier. And that's Insight for today. Learn more about our guests at capradio.org/insight. You can also subscribe to the Insight podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. If you want to join the conversation, email us at insight@capradio.org. Thank you to producer Sarit Leshinsky and editor Jen Picard. Insight's technical director and audio engineer is Mark Jones. Our original show music is produced by Adrian Gilmore. I'm Andrew Garcia in for Vicky Gonzalez. Thanks for joining us. Insight is going on summer break, so we'll catch you back here on Monday, July 6th. Mark it on your calendar. We'll talk to you then. Take care.